A little way off, towering over their heads, they saw a tree, which has certainly not been there before. It must have grown up silently, yet swiftly, as a flag rises when you pull it up on a flagstaff while they were all busied about the coronation. Its spreading branches seemed to cast a light rather than a shade, and silver apples peeped out like stars from under every leaf. But it was the smell which came from it, even more than the sight, which made everyone draw in their breath. For a moment, one could hardly think about anything else.
Son of Adam, you have sown well. And you, Narnians, let it be your first care to guard this tree, for it is your shield. The witch of whom I told you has fled far away into the north of the world. She will live on there, growing stronger in dark magic. But while that tree flourishes, she will never come down into Narnia. She dare not come within 100 miles of the tree, for its smell, which is joy and life and health to you, is death and horror and despair to her.
Oh, Aslan, sir, I forgot to tell you. The witch has already eaten one of those apples. One of the same kind that tree grew from.
So there must be some mistake. And she can't really mind the smell of those apples.
Why do you think that, daughter of Eve?
Well, she ate one.
Child, that is why all the rest are now a horror to her. That is what happens to those who pluck and eat fruits at the wrong time and in the wrong way. Oh, the fruit is good, but they loathe it ever after.
Oh, I see. And I suppose because she took it in the wrong way, it won't work with her. I mean, it won't make her always young and all that.
Alas, it will. Things always work according to their nature. She has won her heart's desire. She has unwearying strength and endless days like a goddess. But length of days with an evil heart is only length of misery, and already she begins to know it. All get what they want. They do not always like it.
I nearly ate one myself, Aslan. Would I have...
You would, child, for the fruit always works. It must work. But it does not work happily for any who pluck it at their own will. If any Narnian, unbidden, had stolen an apple and planted it here to protect Narnia, it would have protected Narnia, but it would have done so by making Narnia into another strong and cruel empire like Charm. Not the kindly land I mean it to be. Ahem. The witch tempted you to do another thing, my son, did she not?
Yes, Aslan. She wanted me to take an apple home to my mother.
Understand, then, that it would have healed her. But not to your joy or hers. The day would have come when both you and she would have looked back and said it would have been better to die in that illness.
But, Aslan... what am I going to do about my mother?
That is what would have happened, child, with a stolen apple. It is not what will happen now. What I give you now will bring joy. It will not in your world give endless life, but it will heal. Go, pluck her an apple from the tree.
You want me to? I mean... can I?
Yes.
Thank you, Aslan. Now, please, may we go home? We still have the rings.
You need no rings when I am with you.
It's the wood between the worlds.
And there's Uncle Andrew, asleep on the grass.
Come, it is time that you went back. But there are two things to see to first. A warning and a command. Look here, children. Do you see that hollow? It was once a pool. When you jumped into it, you came to the world where a dying sun shone over the ruins of Charn. There is no pool now. That world is ended, as if it had never been. Let the race of Adam and Eve take warning.
Yes, Aslan. But we're not quite as bad as that world, are we?
Not yet, daughter of Eve. Not yet. But you are growing more like it. It is not certain that some wicked one of your race will not find out a secret as evil as the deplorable word and use it to destroy all living things. And soon, very soon, before you are an old man and an old woman, great nations in your world will be ruled by tyrants who care no more for joy and justice and mercy than the Empress Jodis. Let your world beware. That is the warning. Now for the command. As soon as you can, take from this uncle of yours his magic rings and bury them so that no one can use them again.
Both the children were looking up into the lion's face as he spoke these words. And all at once the face seemed to be a sea of tossing gold in which they were floating, and such a sweetness and power rolled about them and over them and entered into them that they felt that they'd never really been happy or wise or good or even alive and awake before. And the memory of that moment stayed with them always.